highly polarised president. Christina Kirchner's supporters, some have stuck by her, some have not, and her opponents have really spoken out. There were thousands of people in the streets here and in other cities in Argentina too, demanding a full investigation into his death. I've never seen a case that has more enveloped the country.
We've been speaking to journalist Jonathan Gilbert in Buenos Aires. Jonathan, thanks very much.
No problem.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Guarantee your seats today for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Keynoting the day is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, and we'll get a presentation on land values from Murray Wise. And we'll take all of your questions on soybean and corn futures, cash grain, and whatever else is on your mind. Call now for tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a mid-morning commodity market report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 565 and a quarter, up a half. Soft March, 535, up 1 1/4. March corn, 387 and 3/4, up 4. July, 403 and a quarter, up 4. December, 417 and a quarter, up 4. March beans, 974, down 2 3/4. July, 985 and 3/4, down 3. November, 960, down 1. March soybean meal is up 80 cents at 330.90. March soybean oil down 15 at 31.82. February live cattle 150.75, down 260. January feeders 214.67 and a half, down 130. The March is down 410. February lean hog 69.80, down 180. April down 217 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Boy, we've had a lot of outside macro fundamentals to deal with, including the death of the King of Saudi Arabia. And we're also trying to put in our mind what this higher U.S. dollar means. Is it impacting the cattle more than the grains?
Yeah, I think it's impacting the livestock a lot more than the grains from a standpoint that they're going to be more sensitive, more elastic in price and demand than the grains probably are. But there will be, I think, a spillover effect in the grains once we get down the road here, as far as if we do start to see hog and cattle prices remain at lower levels, kind of like the crude oil market. If we continue to see that remain at lower levels, you will see production go down, but at first you'll see lighter weights and you'll see marketings going forward and more advanced. And I think a lot of what we're dealing with, maybe as much as 3/4 of what we're dealing with, is the good old-fashioned buy the dollar and sell the commodities, the deflation trade, where you buy the dollar, you buy the gold for safe havens, you buy the equities for deflation, and you sell the commodity complex. And I think the livestock especially are caught up in that.
And could it also be that end users watching this U.S. dollar march higher and sharply higher today, we could talk about that in a moment, but marching higher is trying to get out in front of it, and that is why we see 86 million bushels of sales this past week?
You know, it could be that, Dave, or it could be the fact that the USDA did come in with a lower carryover in their January report and wake up, essentially, the end users on a global scale. But you're right, it could be a situation where the trade is expecting, in general, the dollar to just continue going higher. And the problem with that mindset, though, is that we're on our seventh straight month up of gains in the U.S. dollar index. I went back to the mid to early 1980s, and I have not been able to find any time period there where we were up more than 6 months in a row. So you're really on the long end of the curve at this stage. You're really, in my opinion, pushing on the string, even though you do see the central banks of the world essentially going for broke. We've had the Bank of Canada, Denmark, Switzerland, China even pushed money into their monetary system and their financial system yesterday, and then obviously the ECB pulling out what the trade refers to as the QE bazooka. Mm-hmm. It just says to me they're pretty much going for broke, and the trade maybe in the equities markets hasn't really realized it yet, but I think they're really feeling around in the dark at this point to try and to stem a deflationary wave that they see coming in the next 3 or 4 months. And it is extremely reminiscent of the late 90s still.
A bull market can remain over bought for some period of time. Do you think that we could see further gains in the dollar over the next 3 months?
Well, as I said, technically it would look unlikely because we've not seen 7 months in a row like this since, 30 years ago. Now, what I will say about that, though, is you never say never because of what happened in the late 90s, and that was an Asian financial crisis accelerated the upside to the dollar before we went into a recession. And so with the U.S. Economy still going along pretty nicely, the idea that China could have a soft landing is still, I think, in the trade's mindset. They believe that. If you would start to see weaker U.S. economic data, and Greece would vote this weekend to leave the euro, and all of a sudden we'd see the euro go parity with the dollar, then we can start talking about the prospects of a financial crisis. And that's really essentially what I'm talking to clients about right now. The only reason I've got hedges on right now for 14 or 15 is because the outside markets, the supply-demand fundamentals for corn and wheat, and even starting to be that way for beans because of the price break we've seen, are starting to get into equilibrium price, and I think we addressed that last week.
I believe the Fed meets again, what, next week?
That's exactly right. It's going to be a really busy week, and you brought up the Saudi king passing away. You've still got a lot of issues in the Middle East. I would not be surprised to see the crude oil make some pretty violent moves next week because of what we have going on in Saudi Arabia now and the prospects of a change in power and what that may mean.
What's a likely outcome of the Fed watching that dollar go sharply higher and then see the reason for it and then potentially mull over the possibility of the second half of the year having going back to another QE?
The Chicago National Activity Index came out today. The Chicago Fed puts that out every month, and it does show some slowing. And I think between that and the Chinese PMI showing a second straight month below 50, so it's in contraction now for a second straight month, I think the Fed will stay with the idea that it'll be the second half of 2015. I don't think the Fed, because of their forward guidance mindset and what they've been writing, Dave, I don't think they can go back into QE. I think that they know that that would pop a significant financial bubble, and they'd essentially be starting all over again from the financial crisis when it comes to the stock market and the confidence of the trade, of the markets in general.
Let's say you get your volatile oil market in the next 30 to 45 days. Certainly didn't get it today, was kind of a surprise. But say we do get it, we get news out of Saudi Arabia that sends mixed signals to the marketplace. What does that mean for the corn market?
Well, I think this is where the dollar strength has really kept some of the buyers out of the commodities, and especially in the ag commodities. And so if we would see a muted currency market but a turnaround higher in the crude oil market, and the dollar would start to weaken as a result of that, and essentially they're unwinding the trade of buying the dollar and selling the crude, I think that would be very healthy for the grain markets, and I'd be very eager to see how much short covering we could present ourselves with.
What about, let's go back to micros. Is there much micro in the marketplace that we need to be concerned about over the next month?
Not right now, but I would say the wheat weather is getting to be a big issue. The new drought monitor came out yesterday. It's spread in terms of a drought in the southern plains. It's spread by about another 3 percentage points, a little over 3 percentage points. And so we've got roughly 56% of the southern plains in the drought area, almost 60% now in the drought area. We have burn bans in place right now, Dave. We are not looking at much precip for the next 7 days. And I think this is where if we would turn colder, the trade would probably have to wake up to that because we are at a lower level of the wheat. In fact, the weekly wheat chart, I'm watching for a head and shoulders technical bottom to be forming here at this stage of the game.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. March corn trading 387 3/4, up 4. July 403 1/4, up 4. December 417 1/4, up 4. March soybeans 974 3/4, down 2. July 987, down 1 3/4. November 960 1/2, down 1/2. March soybean meal 331.40, up 130. March soybean oil 31.81, down 16 cents. February live cattle 150.47 1/2, down 287 1/2. February lean hogs 69.25, down 235. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time. From NPR.